She hadn't even been in a position to see it coming. She'd turned the boat into a pumpkin, but she hadn't meant to. It could have happened to anyone. "I managed to save Desiderata's notebooks too," she said.
"Well, that's a blessing," said Naniog. "Now we know where we're lost."
She looked around. They were through the worst of the mountains, but there were still peaks around the high meadows stretching to the snow line. From somewhere in the distance came the clonking of goat bells. Magrat unfolded a map. It was creased, damp, and the pencil had run. She pointed cautiously to a smudged area.
"I think we're here," she said.
"My word,"
said Naniog, whose grasp of the principles of cartography was even shakier than Granny's.
"Amazing how we can all fit on that little bit of paper."
"I think perhaps it would be a good idea at the moment if we just followed the river," said Magrat, "without in any way going on it," she added quickly.
"I suppose you didn't find my bag," said Granny Weatherwax. "It had personal items in."
"Probably sank like a stone," said Naniog.
Granny Weatherwax stood up like a general who's just had news that his army has come second.
"Come on," she said.
"Where to next, then?"
What was next was forest, dark and ferociously coniferous. The witches flew over it in silence. There were occasional isolated cottages half hidden in the trees. Here and there a crag loomed over the Sylvanian gloom, shrouded in mist even in mid-afternoon. Once or twice they flew past castles, if that's what you could call them. They didn't look built, more extruded from the landscape. It was the kind of landscape that had a particular type of story attached to it, featuring wolves and garlic and frightened women. A dark and thirsty story, a story that flapped wings against the moon.
"Der Flabbergast," muttered Nanny.
"What's that?" said Magrat.
"It's foreign for a bat."
"I've always liked bats," said Magrat, "in general." The witches found that by unspoken agreement they were flying closer together.
"I'm getting hungry," said Granny Weatherwax, "and don't no one mention pumpkin."
"There's dwarf bread," said Nanny.
"There's always the dwarf bread," said Granny. "I fancy something cooked this year, thank you all the same."
They flew past another castle, occupying the entire summit of a crag.
"What we need is a nice little town or something," said Magrat.
"But the one down there will have to do," said Granny.
They looked down at it. It wasn't so much a town as a huddle of houses clustering together against the trees. It looked as cheerless as an empty hearth, but the shadows of the mountains were already speeding across the forest, and something about the landscape tacitly discouraged nighttime flying.
"Can't see many people about," said Granny.
"Maybe they turn in early in these parts," said Naniog.
"It's hardly even sunset," said Magrat. "Perhaps we ought to go up to that castle." They all looked at the castle.
"No," said Granny slowly, speaking for all of them. "We know our place."
So they landed instead, in what was presumably the town square. A dog barked somewhere behind the buildings. A shutter banged closed.
"Very friendly," said Granny.
She walked over to a larger building that had a sign unreadable under the grime over the door. She gave the woodwork a couple of thumps.
"Open up," she said.
"No, no, you don't say that," said Magrat.
She shouldered her way past and tapped on the door.
Excuse me, bona fide travellers."
"Bona what?"
said Nanny.
"That's what you need to say," said Magrat. "Any inn has got to open up for bona fide travellers and give them succour."
"Has it?" said Nanny, with interest. "That sounds like a thing worth knowing."
The door remained shut.
"Let me have a go," said Nanny. "I know some foreign lingo."
She hammered on the door.
"Oh, penny voo, Gunga Din, chop chop pretty damn quick," she said.
Granny Weatherwax listened carefully.
"That's speaking foreign, is it?" "My grandson Shane is a sailor," said Naniog. "You'd be amazed the words he learns about foreign parts." "I expects I would," said Granny, "and I hopes they works better for him."
She thumped on the door again, and this time it opened very slowly. A pale face peered around it.
"Excuse me," Magrat began.
Granny pushed the door open. The face's owner had been leaning on it. They could hear the scrape of his boots over the floor as he was shoved gently backwards.
"Blessings be on this house," Granny said.